Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q3 FY22 results conference call of Welspun Corp, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Modi from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Faizan. On behalf of Emkay, I would like to welcome you all to Q3 FY22 earnings conference call of Welspun Corp. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Abhinandan Singh, Head, Group Investor Relations at Welspun Group, to introduce the management and take it forward.
Thanks, and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Welspun Corp Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q3 FY 2022 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Vipul Mathur, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Percy Birdy, Chief Financial Officer of Welspun Corp Limited. Also with us is Gaurav Ajjan, who heads Investor Relations for Welspun Corp Limited. We will start this forum as usual with opening remarks by Mr. Vipul Mathur, the company's MD and CEO. After that, the floor will be open for your questions. Should you have any queries that remain unanswered post this earnings call, you can reach out to either Gaurav or me. With that, let me hand over now the floor to Mr. Vipul Mathur. Over to you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, and very good morning to all of you. Welcome to our Q3 FY22 conference call. I greatly appreciate and thanks all of you for taking time to attend this call. To start with, I would like to take you through the key highlights of our operational and financial performance during this quarter ending 31st December 2021. In this particular quarter, we saw a successful IPO of our Saudi company, and it was an overwhelming response out there. You know, as you know, we have diluted 30%. You know, the partners have diluted 30% of their stake out there. This got an overwhelming response where it got subscribed in the institutional tranches by almost 72 times, and on the retail side, it got oversubscribed by 16 times. Further, we have a robust net cash position of 839 crore rupees. We have a current order book of 543,000 tons and an active bid book of almost close to 2 million tons. Our sales volume for quarter three stands at 171,000 tons, and the total income from our operations stand at almost close to 1,300 crore rupees. For the quarter, the production and the sales volume for our total operations was at 140,000 tons and 171,000 tons respectively. This is the production and the sales numbers. For India operations, the sales was at 133,000. For U.S. operations, our sales was around 3,000 tons, and for our Saudi operations, the sales was around 35,000 tons. Importantly, I would like to give you some outlook and updates and what are the key drivers which are going to take this business forward. Friends, as you are aware, the Brent crude pricing has touched a seven-year high of almost touching $94 due to tight global supplies. Several OPEC members have struggled to meet even currently monthly targets and lack spare capacity to boost productions any further. Only a handful of states, like Saudi Arabia, would have some spare capacity that could possibly increase output. Even gas prices are at unprecedented high levels driven by a very, very strong demand. Overall, the current level of elevated prices, which we believe would stay, is a big positive for WCL and is expected to drive global spending for oil and gas pipelines related infrastructure projects in the medium term. We are also witnessing market corrections in steel price, and they are now at a much more acceptable level across geographies. You know, we have seen an unprecedented commodity cycle in the last quarters that seems to be slightly cooling off. As regards India, India's leading state oil and gas giants are expected to spend nearly 1.11 lakh crore rupees together in the upcoming 2022-23 financial year as they supplement the government spending program to spur economic growth. The massive capital expenditure plans were unveiled during India's recent union budget and includes Oil and Natural Gas Corporation, IOCL, GAIL, BPCL, HPCL, and All India. All the oil and gas companies are, you know, spending, upping their CapEx. The CapEx spending of 1.1 lakh crore in 2022-23 compares with a revised estimate of 1 lakh crore rupees for the current fiscal year that ends in March, according to the Union Budget document, and almost 7% higher than the combined spending in the current financial year. Notably, Gas Utility GAIL will invest more than 7,500 crore rupees in the expansion of pipeline grid and petrochemical plants. The PNGRB, which is the regulatory board, announced the 10th CGT round bidding has authorized 228 geographical areas comprising 407 districts in 27 states and union territories, covering 53% of the geographical area and 70% of the population, for the development of CGD network, the city gas development network. PNGRB has also launched the 11th round of bidding in September 2021 and has received 439 bids from 26 entities against 61 geographical areas. The government plans to raise the share of natural gas in this country's energy basket to 15% from the current level of 6.3% by 2030, and city gas expansion is a part of that roadmap. Despite the increase in the gas prices, cost economies remains favorable for CNG and PNG compared to the alternate fuels. The Union Budget 22-23 has also allocated 60,000 crore rupees to extend tap water coverage to 3.8 crore households in 2022-23. This is a signature scheme which we are talking about, the Nal Se Jal scheme. The previous budget has allocated 50,000 crore rupees for the pipe water mission. The finance minister also said that the implementation of Ken Betwa River Link project at an estimated cost of 44,000 crore rupees would be taken up soon. This is aimed at providing irrigation benefit to almost 9 lakh hectares of farmers' land, drinking water supply to 62 lakh people, 103 megawatt of hydro and 27 megawatt of solar power. To provide greater access to irrigation and drinking water, draft project reports of 5 interlinking projects, namely Daman Ganga Pinjal, Par Tapi Narmada, Godavari Krishna, Krishna Pinar and Pinar Kaveri has also been finalized. Once a consensus is reached among the beneficiary states, the center will provide support for implementation. Overall, the government programs reflect the continued focus of improving the lives of the people through several schemes to build water infrastructure to increase the use of natural gas, to build refining capacity, etc. We are confident that we will see a steady improvement in demand both for line pipes and DI pipes as these programs are implemented over a period of time. USA. The US production of dry natural gas averaged around 93.5 billion cubic feet per day in 2021, up 2% from 2020. Natural gas production fell in 2020 as a result of low natural gas and oil prices that reduced drilling activity. However, the production has started growing in 2021 as drilling activity has come back online, especially in the Permian Basin, where associated gas production in the region contribute to the overall growth in the natural gas production. EIA forecasts dry natural gas production will increase by 3% in 2022. The recent increase in oil and the domestic natural gas prices will contribute to an overall increase in drilling activity that will lead to the production growth from second quarter of 2022 onwards. The U.S. crude oil production averaged 11.2 million barrels per day in 2021. EIA expects production to average 11.8 million barrels per day in 2022 and to rise to 12.4 million barrels per day in 2023, which would be the highest annual average U.S. crude oil production on record. The current record of 12.3 million barrels per day was set in 2019. The midstream companies have slowed down on investing in new pipelines as there were concerns about the regulatory issues and environmental opposition. Nonetheless, at the current level of the high oil and gas prices, we are confident of a revival in the midterm. Pipelines continues to be the cleanest and the fastest way to move vast amount of energy, as opposed to more carbon emissive methods like rail and truck. Saudi Arabia. The Middle East is a key area for the welded pipe market due to rapidly growing water and gas consumption driven by announcement of large and vital projects requiring significant investment in pipelines. The Saudi market is the main driver of the demand volume in GCC region. We see a huge demand for SO pipes is driven by the growth of the economy and the clear development programs launched by the government under the Kingdom's Vision 2030, the National Transformation Program, the National Industrial Development Program, the Logistic Program, the Housing Program, and the Financial Sector Development Program. Moreover, with a pickup in oil prices, we are confident that further opportunities will arise both in oil and gas and the water segment from Saudi Aramco and SWCC. I would also like to inform you about the few business updates. One, the IPO update on the joint venture company. As I mentioned earlier, the public offering of joint venture company in Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, East Pipe Integrated Company, on the Saudi Exchange main market has been successfully completed in January of 2022. The IPO of EPIC was for 6.3 million ordinary shares, representing 30% of the issued capital of 21 million shares by way of sale of existing shares of the current shareholders on pro rata basis. Post the IPO, WCL will own 35.01% through its step-down subsidiary in Mauritius and will continue to be the largest shareholder in EPIC. Trading of EPIC shares in the exchange is expected to commence soon after fulfillment of all relevant statutory requirements. The price band of the IPO during the big building process was in the range of SAR 72 to SAR 80 per share. As per the local regulations, 10% of the offered shares were reserved for retail shareholders and the balance 90% for institutional investors. The final offer price was set at SAR 80 per share with an oversubscription coverage of 72% of the total shares for the institutional investors and almost 16%, more than 16% for the retail investors. So it was an overwhelming successful IPO, and we are expected that it will get listed soon. Second, merger. Update, acquisition of steel business of Welspun Steel Limited. The process at this point in time is in the final hearing at NCLT, and which is scheduled on the 23rd of February 2022. And we are expecting this transaction to be completed on or before 31st March of 2022. Third, update on the ductile iron project. As announced in October 2020, given the industry prospects and synergies with our existing business, we are setting up a greenfield facility at Anjar to enter the ductile iron pipe business. We are expecting to hit the market with our product offerings in Q1 of FY2023. There is a big focus on creating drinking water supply in the country through government programs. As previously mentioned, the Honorable Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman in her budget speech for the financial year earmarked rupees 60,000 crore rupees for the Jal Jeevan Mission that aims to provide potable water to 3.8 crore households in 2022-2023. Overall, the Jal Shakti Mission Ministry was allocated rupees 86,000 crore rupees, higher than 70,000 crore rupees allocated in the previous fiscal year. ESG. I am very pleased to announce that Welspun Corp has been ranked 13 among the 41 companies included in the industry group in S&P Global DJSI Index. On the social dimension, we were at the 77th percentile, and on the governance and economic dimensions, we stood at 78th percentile. Both are the top quartile in the steel industry. This marks a milestone in the company, which is a part of growing movement of ESG and around consciousness and transparency. Lastly, as you may be aware, on the dividend side of it, during Q2 of FY22, the company paid a dividend of rupees 130 crores, and that dividend amount declared per share was in FY21 was 100% of the FB of rupees 5% per share. With this, I would like to conclude my opening remark. We will be happy to take any questions, and the floor is now open for the questions, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So if you can just broadly help us understand the outlook for the domestic part of the business, the volumes are still kind of muted to that extent. So how should one look at it? How is the outlook? Because earlier you used to, you used to clock a much higher run rate of volumes in the past. So how should one look at it in that context? Some color there will be helpful, sir.
Right. Good morning, Abhishek. See, the volumes in the first two quarters have been slightly muted, I understand, and we all know the reasons that what was the contributing factors about that. We still, in the domestic market, we still have the third wave of pandemic coming up, and, there were certain issues around that. However, now all those things happen to be behind us. I think so there are a couple of factors which are very, very encouraging. We are seeing a consistent and a very steady growth in the demand in the oil and gas sector, number one. Number two, we are also seeing a very steady growth and demand in the CGD sector. What does it mean for us? That when the oil and gas sector is steadily growing, our large diameter pipe business is going to see a growth volume. When the CGD business is growing, it will have a positive impact on our ERW business. The best part of it at this point in time, and we will see in the coming quarters, is that because, the capital investment in the water sector has also started coming in, which was missing in the last few quarters for the simple reason that all the state governments were more focused in terms of diverting funds for fighting pandemic. And, they were not unable to invest that type of capital investment in the development of the water sector. So that has taken a hit. But what we have started seeing in Q4 onwards is that those investments in the water sector have also started to come in. We have also started seeing an uptick in the volume in the water sector. So all the three sectors put together, the CGD sector, the water sector, and the large diameter oil and gas sector, I think so we are seeing an uptick. And in fourth quarter onwards, we should see a positive traction in that.
Sir, if you can give us some color in terms of how is the bid book looking like, how is the pipeline looking like for the domestic part of the business?
See, if you look at the total bid book, I think so we are still looking at an active bid book of close to 2 million tons. But that's a global bid book, number one. Now, as if we talk about the India bid book, what are the prospects which are going to be in India? See, typically in Indian market, we have consistently been seeing that, almost close to 700,000 to 800,000 tons of pipes are being bought on for the large diameter, number one. Right. Now on the ERW side of it, we have seen almost close to 250,000 to 300,000 tons of ERW pipes are being bought for the CGD part of it, are being bought on a consistent basis. And on the water side of it, it is also close to 1 million tons of pipes which are being bought on a year-on-year basis. What was missing in the last couple of quarters was that the water sector was completely redundant because the state governments were diverting the funds to fighting the pandemic. The oil and gas sector and the CGD sector were doing good. We were getting our own share around that. We were absolutely fine with that. What was missing from our portfolio was the water sector because, that investments were not happening. And that is what will now come up on the table. So that it will not only bring in additional volume, but incremental income as well.
Okay. So, sir, essentially what you're saying is this 1 million of water, which just combined ERW and large dia give you from the oil and gas, was missing and which will kind of come back now. Is that the right way to look at it?
The water itself, yeah.
And sir, broadly, what is the kind of market share that you enjoy? I know it's a tough one because project to project it differs, but when you kind of internally looking at it, what is the typical market share that one should expect Welspun Corp, given that now you have plants across the center region also? How should one look at the market shares for you all as far as the water projects are concerned?
See, we have a strategical geographical positioning in south, which is by virtue of our plant in Mandya. We have a strategic geographical positioning in the central part of India, which is by virtue of our plant in MP. And of course, we have a significant presence, which we have in the, in the state, in Gujarat, where we have plants in Dahej and Anjar. So, and all these three states, we are seeing an uptick in the water demand now coming. And the state governments are willing to fund those projects. In these states, I think so, depending on the competitive framework, the percentages would vary. But just to give you a brief, just to give a back of the palm, I think so, we should definitely enjoy close to 20-25% of the market share.
And so just one last thing, we have seen good profitability in the domestic part of the business. So how should one look at it now going forward when these water projects kind of come through? There'd be a function of operating leverage, but then there'd be a function of lower margins also. So how should one look at the domestic margin going forward?
See, they are bound to only improve from here for a simple reason, because the water business brings significant volume for us and it helps us to amortize our cost. So which indirectly, directly helps us in improving our operating margin. So this volume which has been missing, you know, was a little bit of a pain area. But I think so, with this coming back, we are very confident that things, you know, financially will also look much better.
Okay. And so just two more questions and I'll come back in the queue, is that if you look at the U.S. outlook, while you may not have orders, but the outlook, all parameters which are required in terms of higher energy prices and other things have all kind of tick marked. So internally, when you speak to your team, is it like a 1 or 2 quarter phenomena or a year or two phenomena when those orders kind of come in? How should one broadly gauge some understanding around the U.S. part of the business?
I can give you the comfort that, you know, U.S. is one of our very, very focused area, and we are very closely plugged to that particular market. I think that the way things seems to be looking, you know, at this point in time, there is always a pattern which follows in U.S. The pattern is, the first and foremost, the drilling activity has to ramp up, and which we are seeing that the number of drill rigs have started improving and have started increasing. It is followed by the demand, uptick in demand in the OCTG. That also box is now getting ticked, because as the drilling activity is starting, the OCTG demand is also going up. That is followed by the demand in the small diameter, which is the ERW pipe. And now we have seen, you know, some inquiries started trickling into that. And then it is followed by the large diameter. So that is how the US follows a pattern. And out of this pattern of 4 blocks, we are seeing the first two, we have very strong demand in the first two. The third one, which is the ERW part of it, we have started seeing some trickling. And I am very confident that, it, you know, in the fourth part of it, which is the large diameter, it should follow soon. Maybe the sense, and on top of it is all governed, all, you know, all because of high energy prices at this point of time. If you see the WTI and the Brent, they're all in plus of $85. And if you look at the gas pricing at this point of time, they're almost close to $4.50 and above. So these are absolutely high levels of pricing, which is at this point in time, which is making the E&P companies to rethink and come back with their capital expenditure programs. And if that is the case, I think it will be a matter of 1 or 2 more quarters when we should see a significant demand coming up on the table.
Great. And so just one last thing. On the DI part of it, when should one expect the first first pipe to kind of get commercialized and come out, because adjusted for, because there's a lot of been disruptions in supply chain. What is a legitimate timeline to expect to for the first hot metal to kind of come out of that?
See, hot, I can tell you that, you know, from a project perspective, I think so, we are despite all the disruptions, you know, we have been able to make up the most part of it. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, we have been able to make up 100% part of it, but we have been able to make up the most part of it, knowing fully that the disruptions were of a severe nature. My sense is that, our products will start hitting. We would be making various products, you know, which would be, you know, which would be pig iron and coke and DI and all that stuff. I think so, our product offerings one by one will start coming in the very first quarter of FY2023.
Great, sir. Wish you all the best. I'll come back in the queue for more questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opening update and a very good presentation. A few questions. First, if you can update us on the progress on DI pipe project, how much is spent till date, and what's the roadmap to start the blast furnace followed by DI pipes and targets for next year. Second question is on WSL merger. If you can update how much is paid till date, what is the deadline and status quo of the merger happening, and how is the WSL doing? If you can give some operational numbers there.
Yeah, good morning, Bhavin. On the DI side of it, at this point in time, I think so we have, in terms of your question with respect to the capital expenditure, we are almost close to 1800 crore rupees of 1700 crore rupees of capital expenditure which has been done, which is almost, we are almost 85-90% of our the spend at this point in time. And as I said earlier, you know, we are creating a facility for blast furnace, sinter, coke oven and DI all put together. And one by one, these facilities would start coming on stream and the products will start hitting the market sometimes from the very first quarter of FY 2023. The project is absolutely going smoothly, and we see no concern whatsoever at this point in time. Of course, a project of this magnitude would need, of course, some time in terms of stabilizing and all that stuff, which is a normal standard industry practice. And I'm sure we will also undergo through that. But despite having said that, we are not seeing any major challenges around that. Number one. Number two, as regards your question with respect to WSL merger, as I said, you know, there have been a couple of hearings which has happened at the NCLT. The last happened to be on the 8th of February, in which the Honorable NCLT court has listed for a final disposal around 23rd of February. So we are expecting that, you know, it is just a matter of a few more weeks when this merger activity should get completed. And we are, I mean, internally we are keeping a view that it should get completed on or before end of 31st March 2022. So that's the update on the merger side of it. In terms of performance side of it, you know, we have taken it through a capital revamping program. That program stands completed. We have already started sponge making. We have already started making the sponge out there. And we intend to start making billets there from the very first week of March. So that is when we will talk about the fourth quarter, we will talk about the performance of that WSL. In the demerged entity, as you know, we also have WSSL, and which is our specialty steel company. And I think so, I'm sure that you would be privy to the results which were announced yesterday. More than the results, the performance of that company was also disclosed, and I can assure all of you that, you know, that company is absolutely on track, both in terms of performance, and it is only a matter of time that it will, you know, come out of the woods. You know, their acceptability, their product offering and their acceptability, both in the domestic market as well as in the international market, is ever increasing. They already, just to give you some numbers, they have a close to 2,000 tons of an open order book. And out of that, 40% of their order book comes from export. In this quarter, quarter three, they have done more than 900 tons of sales, which has been the highest ever which has been done in the history of that particular company. So all in all, if you connect all the data points, the block, if you take all, you know, I think so, they are absolutely on the track. And we see a tailwind in that particular segment as well. There is a lot of demand which is coming up domestically. There is a lot of demand which is there on the export side of it. And, you know, with respect to their quality and respect to their serviceability, they have been able to capture it. Few of the highlights also around that, they have done very high quality grade HP heater tubings, which are used for the thermal power plants. And they also are supplying instrumentation tubings, which is meant for the, you know, for the defense and all that stuff. So not only that, their volumes are going up. The point I'm trying to highlight, it is not about the volume, but they are also making their inroads and presence felt in the niche sector, which is what our ultimate goal is. So I think so the journey around that has been fine. And as the merger would stand complete in the fourth quarter of this financial year, from next quarter onward, from the first quarter of the financial FY23, we will start making you a detailed presentation about the progress of the same as well.
Sure, sir. Good to hear that. Just on the DI side, you said 1,800 crores CapEx is completed. How much is the cash spent and capital creditors? Because I see still the cash balances remains high and Welspun balance sheet at 839 crores. So if Percy is there, he can update how much actually the cash outgo has happened of that CapEx?
Yeah. So Bhavin, there are two things that are happening. One part of the project is getting funded by the promoter, that is WCL, which is a promoter for WML and WDI. So there we had taken certain long-term debts, as you are aware, in terms of NCDs. And that funding has more or less been going on track. So far it's about 650 CR, which has already been funded by the parent. Rest of the funding is coming, we are... Sure. So basically, Welspun Corp, which is the parent, has funded about 650 crores into the project. And the WML, WDI, which are our wholly owned subsidiaries, they have also taken term loans from the banks, which is also coming close to about 350 to 400 CRs. And then there are another 400 CRs worth of LCs for the... Yeah. Bhavin, are you on the call?
Yeah, I'm on the call. I think you said 650 is funded from Welspun Corp balance sheet.
Right.
And balance, some LCs are open.
Correct. And about 400 CR LCs and another about 400 is term loans in the subsidiaries.
So if I try to cross-tally this number, your net debt in Welspun Corp, which you showed at 839 crores cash, so here only 650 crores of cash outgo has happened from the Welspun balance sheet and debt and equity. So the pending payment must be close to now 500-600 crores.
Cash
would reduce by that amount, right?
So cash is already reduced till December. It has already reduced.
Yeah, I'm saying post December till the project starts. Your cash balance will reduce by another 500-600 crores purely because of the DI project.
Yeah, see, LCs will also come up maturity, na?
Yeah.
400 CRs are LCs also, so they will also mature at a certain point in time in future.
Okay. And you will get the inflow from the Saudi IPO, so that cash balance will again go up.
That's right.
Sure. And is there any clarity and what kind of taxes the Mauritius entity first have to pay and then Mauritius will give back money to India, so what kind of overall tax impact would come?
So Bhavin, tax is still being worked out in a bit of detail. So maybe we have about 60 days as per the regulations there to work out the tax impact. So I think we will reserve that answer for some more time. But I can tell you that the gross proceeds from the IPO is about 252 million riyals. So gross proceeds coming to Mauritius. Which 252 million riyals, if you just multiply by about 19.8 rupees, it will come close to 500 crore rupees. But this is gross, before IPO expenses, before tax. So that clarity we will give you after some time. Definitely in Q4 it will come. So before Q4 we will have that clarity.
And India holds 100% in Mauritius, right? This entire money would come to India from Mauritius?
So, India holds 90% in Mauritius. There is another partner also who holds 10%.
Okay, so 90% of that 450 would flow.
Yeah, you can roughly say that, yeah.
Net of tax, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations for the successful IPO. Sir, a few questions. Firstly, if you can just give a broad breakup of order book plant-wise. I understand that USA would be hardly anything, but how much is Saudi, India? If you can just give that breakup, please.
So at this point in time, we have close to 543,000 tons of open order book at this point in time. Out of which close to 350,000 tons is here in India. LR is close to 5,000 tons. And in Saudi, we have close to almost 190,000 tons. So that's the broad breakup, please.
Okay. And sir, we did dispatch of around 3,000 tons from the US plant. But out of the 132 odd crores of operating EBITDA, if you can just broadly give a breakup, between the US and India?
So in our operating EBITDA out of India was close to 112 crore rupees, and our operating EBITDA out of Little Rock, US was close to 22 crore rupees.
Got it. And in our last call, sir, we did mention that our fixed costs in US are somewhere around $2.5 million, and our storage income is around $500,000 per quarter. And if I'm looking at our other expenses, it's fallen very sharply compared to the average rate of the first half. So, I mean, is there, I mean, are there any write-backs in US, because on a 3,000 ton of dispatches in US and net fixed cost of $2 million, we still have reported a operating EBITDA from 22 crores. So any one-off items over and above the storage income in the US operations?
Thank you, sir. So what has happened is the other expenses are a bit on the lower side, largely due to freight. So there's substantial reduction in freight expense, both in US as well as in India. So US, of course, as you know, the volumes are on the lower side. And India also, comparatively speaking, in this particular quarter, our freight expenses were on the lower side.
But is that the only reason? Because if I see the net fixed cost of $2 million and hardly any operating EBITDA from sale of pipes, so still we have reported a $3 million of positive EBITDA compared to a net fixed cost of $2 million. So the delta is a little...
So there are certain storage revenues also that we received from the customer there. So there are certain pipes which were stored on behalf of the customer. We also get certain storage revenue for that.
So that's over and above the $500,000 of storage revenue that we generally do for that old order.
That comes in, yeah, that comes in the US's EBITDA, correct.
Got it, sir, got it. Great. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivam Prashur from Pandit Sales Agency. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Sir, we are not able to hear you. Please increase the volume of your device.
Hello, yeah, now I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Congratulations on the number side. So I want to ask about the China plus one issue, China plus one strategy that's happening. So that the export, like from the previous few quarters, we were listening from you that the China plus one, like China is not exporting. So what's the current status of that?
Actually, you are asking about the export of their raw material?
The export of their pipes also, the competition that we face from China and the international markets.
We are not seeing, to be honest, at this point in time, even at this point in time, we are not seeing any significant competition coming up of Chinese pipe into the international market. You know, there could be some pipes here and there in the African market where we do not have a very dominant presence, and we are not very competitive either way. But in the markets of, you know, in the mature markets where we work and with the Fortune 50 companies whom we work with, I don't think so. We are seeing any influence of Chinese pipe disrupting the business.
Okay, and sir, like you said about the public capex which is happening and in the CGD and oil and gas space, can you also comment on what side the private capex is happening in domestically in India? Like, if you can highlight the sectors that you are seeing that private capex also happening that can benefit us.
We see a lot of investment, and I mean, I also read exactly what you are reading, but we see a lot of capex investment happening in renewables. We are seeing a lot of investment happening in the steel industry. You know, these are the two sunrise sectors which we are seeing that there is a lot of capex which is being infused. I mean, that's at least these two sectors I happen to track. I am not too very sure that, you know, I am sure that there would be multiple sectors where it would be happening, but these two sectors which I keep a close watch on, I am seeing resurgence and capital expenditure are definitely happening in these two.
And sir, any private participation on the CGD side, if you can comment on?
I'm sorry?
Any private participation on the city gas distribution side?
I think so. The dominant, you know, we are seeing almost some 28, 29 entities and strong entities competing around that. And, we have been extremely successful at least to supply to quite a few entities, including Adani's to Adani and to Torrent's, But I mean, there are some very strong entities which are now getting into it.
Okay, and sir, any guidance on improving the return on capital numbers and all? If you can give us any guidance that from which quarter it will look like, you said in the like 2 quarters the situation might improve. So can you give the guidance on that also?
See, it would be difficult to give a guidance, but I think so. What I'm trying to highlight is that, you know, what I see that, you know, there are big chunk of business, which was a water business, which was completely evasive in the quarter, first 3 quarters. We are seeing a trickle, that trickling back, and that is a very good sign. And I think so that in terms of volumes and margins should add up into our profitability. So, I mean, we are seeing that happening, but I think so it's a little too early to predict around that. And I'm sure that, give us this quarter and hopefully things will only improve from here.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, sorry to interrupt. One last question, can I ask?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Is there any impact on the like the volatility in the steel prices? Does that impact our order book and all?
Impact what?
If the steel prices go up from here, if we take a scenario, then will there be an impact on demand of our products?
First and foremost, the steel price impact has no steel price increase has no significant impact on our P&L. For a simple, because the steel is a pass through for us either way. And at this point in time, every order what we have, you know, globally is covered with a backup steel. So on this order book of 543,000 tons, we are not exposed to any potential steel impact if the prices go up. On the second part of it. What about the steel pricing? I think so. The steel prices were at an unprecedented high level because the commodity prices went up. We have seen significant calibrations which has happened. But having said that, there has been a fundamental shift in the steel market also because the input cost has gone up. So, you know, I see that the steel market would also be will be pretty much range bound. And as long as it stays range bound and as long as it stays predictable, I think so. You know, the buying activity will not get impacted because people have factored that into their costing and pricing.
Okay, thank you so much for the answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Vikas.
Sir, just one clarification in terms of Saudi money. So apart from these taxes, are there any intercorporate loans and adjustments which could have come and has impacted the overall remittance from Saudi to India?
No.
Okay, sir. So my second question pertains to U.S. So there was the infrastructure bill passed on the water as well, amounting to over $50 billion. Do we have any opportunity or the scope to service that part from our Little Rock mill, or that is completely out of question at this point of time?
See, while the infrastructure bill has already got passed, the financing to that to the various states is yet to trickle down, number one. But as it trickles down to various states, I mean, we are absolutely open and prepared to explore those opportunities, both in the water sector as well as in the structural sector. Because from a capability point of view, we can make those, you know, whatever the tubular products they require in our range, we can always make that. They are nothing different than what what we produce today. So we are keeping a watch on that. And as things pans out, if there is a need and if we can service those needs, we are absolutely open to do that. Technically, we are competent to do that.
Understood, sir. And sir, from our execution point of view, considering that US is still pretty low on the order book, so at least it would take up at least a couple of quarters for it to recover on an execution side. Because if we even start getting order from tomorrow, it would take us some time before we start executing. So is that understanding correct at this point of time?
Yes, there's always a lead time to that. And, you know, those are standard lead times. And that understanding is correct. Tomorrow you get an order, you don't start servicing from tomorrow. There are lead times of 3 to 4 months. So that we will also be subjected to that.
Understood. And sir, just one last question. So we were thinking of spending 170 crore on the TMT manufacturing also. So any update on the same, where we are in terms of improving in that capacity or whatever we have spent so far?
So we have gone ahead with that particular project. We have, you know, there is a significant progress which has happened on that particular project. Good question, and good that you asked that question, Vikas. Greatly appreciated. We are well on track on that, and I think, you know, we are still looking at August. You know, our target was always to get into the market by August, September. We are pretty much on track on that.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Vikas.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thanks.
Coming to this. Yes, thank you, sir. Sir, firstly, to this storage part, storage revenue, sir, is it relating to the Keystone pipeline? Is therein we are accruing this income, sir?
That is one of it.
Okay. So, sir, exactly what is the status there, sir? And are we getting the cash or only a provision entry is being made, sir?
We're getting cash. We are invoicing them, we are getting cash.
Okay. And what is the update, sir? There should be a resolution for the same, or what is the end story for it, sir?
The market has to come back. That's it. The end story is simple. The market has to come back, the demand has to pick up, the pipelines have to get constructed, and that is where these pipes are going to get consumed. And as I said earlier in this particular talk, I think so at this point in time, all the boxes, whether you see the oil price, whether you see the gas price, whether you see the demand, you see the rig count, you see the OCTG, I think so all of them are now falling in place. So we have reasons to believe. We have seen these cycles multiple times in the past. Basis that, we have reasons to believe that, you know, things are coming around the corner, and it's a matter of one or two quarters here and there, where things in the large diameter should also pick up. And that is where the final disposal of these pipes will also happen, and our operations in Little Rock should also come back on track.
Do we have any environmental issue also, I think so, earlier, due to which the deliverables were stopped? So, any update on that front?
Environmental issues, we were not
pertaining to
any environmental issues.
No, pertaining to this dirty crude flowing to Canada and in that region specifically, that was the reason for which the pipeline was not laid out, if I'm not wrong. Please, I will stand corrected there then.
Yeah, Saket, you are right. They are political issues, and we don't want to get into that. That's between the governments to settle it out. We are a line pipe producer. We produce a high-quality line pipe. We produce that, and we are there to service our customers. And all of them whom we have supplied the pipes, they stand completely satisfied with our product offering.
Okay, sir. Sir, coming to the fixed cost, sir, what is our fixed cost for the U.S. facilities currently?
As I said, we have almost $2.5 million a quarter. That's a sort of a fixed cost what we have at this point in time. And it is about, you know, it comprises of our people, manpower. It also comprises of some statutory taxes and duties which we are obligated, which are there. And so that's the way it will continue.
And what is the break-even for us to just to cover those fixed costs? What should be the execution side, the minimum, bare minimum requirement of the pipes being produced?
Depends.
You get an idea.
It depends. You know, we have multiple
product portfolio. Yeah. Yes.
Multiple product portfolio. So it all depends which product we are going to supply. So, I mean, I would love to have all my products, you know, my spiral mill, my ERW mill, and my coating mill working. And for the good part, at this point of time, as we speak, our ERW mill and the coating mills are working. And it is only a matter that our large diameter spiral mill has to come into play. And as I said earlier, I think so, as the things are seems to be improving in U.S., we could see a light at the, you know, in next one or two quarters, the things should improve there.
Sir, for the large dia part, sir, are therefore also we are doing back-to-back steel purchase, or that are kept open-ended since they are long gestation period for the order execution? So, what is the take on the raw material security for large dia pipes?
Always. As I said earlier, as a policy, we are completely covered. We always cover the steel. We have always maintained that in U.S. That is our standard policy. So,
yes,
never ever we have kept it open. We are never subjected to that risk.
Sir, last two points. The first thing is how the IPO, congratulations to the team for this. Sir, what kind of valuation, sir, if you could give some understanding in terms of the EBITDA number or what kind of P ratio the same has commanded. So that would give us some understanding how are pipes companies being valued globally, especially in the Saudi region. So if you could share some light on that also, sir.
See, one thing this IPO reinforced is that pipelines are going to stay. That is a very clear message which is coming. If you see the oversubscription which is happening, which means the investors still have tremendous amount of confidence, not only in the company's ability, but also in this particular sector, right? So, you know, we have been hearing talk that, you know, fossils are histories and all that stuff. I think so that's not the case. This is going to be, we are there for the long play, number one. Number two, in terms of valuation, you know, you're talking of the IPO valuation, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So
I want to see how is the company valued, sir. Sir, sorry to interrupt, but sir, what actually happens is that in an IPO, even in our country, Nykaa and Paytm were subscribed many times. So oversubscription does not, according to me, define the real value. It is the cash generation from the company that is going to stay in the long future. So just wanted to understand how is the business is evaluated there at that time. So the value given for the business, since it is a cash generating machine.
Correct. No, you are entitled to your view, Vikas, but I'm telling you the feedback from the ground because I have personally been completely plugged in into this whole IPO process. I'm not giving a theoretical statement. I'm only representing the sentiments what I encountered during this IPO process. You know, all when we met, you know, all the investors, I think so they were extremely confident and buoyant about the future of this particular industry. That's what I was trying to tell you. If I said it differently, my apologies for that. Now, from a futuristic perspective, I think so that market is a very, very strong market at this point in time. I think so the amount of investment and the capital investment which is going to happen in that particular market is going to be phenomenal. They have a vision document called Vision 2030. And if you look at it, you know, the amount of pipeline network, both for water and oil and gas that they are going to create is absolutely mind-blowing. And I think so the keeping that in view, the market has responded extremely well. And if we saw, I think so from a PE perspective, we would have got a multiple of more than 12, 13. So I think we would be around 12% or not probably. Yeah, if we had a PE ratio, we should have got a multiple of around 12. And that is how the market has valued us there. And right. If I may add my personal comment, that is what this industry is all about. Today it might not be valued, you know, at other places, but this is the right valuation. You know, any industries in this particular, companies in this particular sector should be looked at. But anyway, that's my personal view to that. Saket, did I answer your question?
Yes, sir, I got the point. And earlier, sir, we also had some modification in the memorandum article wherein we were pursuing some marine fabrication, industrial fabrication, part of business prospects. What is the update on that? And sir, especially with this Wellspun specialty solution also, sir, we did spoke about it in great details that the type of import substitute we can expect going forward from there. So if you could throw some light on these two aspects.
Let me take this Wellspun specialty solution first. I think so in the earlier part of the call, I'm sure you would have heard, I gave a little update about as to how this company has been performing. And you are mentioning a very right point. I think so in terms of import substitution, you know, it is a great, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of restrictions which are now coming up. And under this Atmanirbhar Bharat scheme also, where the imports of these products are almost coming to would be very, very difficult. So I think so that is giving a further uplift to that particular business. So we are extremely buoyant and confident about the future of that particular company, number one. Number two, with respect to
the marine fabrication
part of it, I think on the object clause part of it, as we always keep on evaluating growth strategies around Wellspun Corp. And we have been very clear that, you know, we have to diversify our portfolio at the Welspun Corp level. You know, typically we have been a B2B company, and our intent is to move to, you know, to bring specialty steels into our play, the B2C component into our play, so that we are able to bring much more predictability into our earnings and for our investors. So it is in that framework that we keep on exploring multiple opportunities. The marine opportunities, as what we talked about it, or, you know, we have been looking at various options. And as and when they will conclude, they will come to a conclusive stage, and we will come back and make a disclosure, please.
Thanks. A small point on Westpac specifically, sir. With this restructuring and all, Westpac specifically would be fully owned by Westpac Steel, WSS, and that is being owned by Welcor. That should be the structure, sir?
No. But can you help me?
Yeah. So, Welspun Speciality Solutions Limited is a 50% subsidiary of Welspun Steel Limited. And Welspun Steel Limited's steel undertaking is getting demerged with Welspun Corp. So, the end result after the merger will be that Welspun Corp will be holding 50% of WSSL, which will continue to be a listed company.
Okay, sir. So, sir, can I raise a question on Welspun Speciality Solutions performance also, sir? Since it will be a part of Welcorp going forward.
It would be, from a compliance perspective, I think so. That may not be very appropriate, Saket, for us to answer that question at this point in time. You know, that being a listed entity, but I would be subjected to all those questions when this merger happens, and I am sure I will be able to satisfy all your questions in times to come.
Right, sir. All the best, sir, and thank you for all the elaborate answers, sir. We hope things do move for improvement only going forward.
Thank you, Sakya. Thank you very much.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking your time out today, and hearing us out, our perspective, our outlook, and our future growth strategy. All in all, on behalf of Welspun Corp, I want to assure you that the company is thriving and growing and moving forward by virtue of expanding their portfolios. Also, all the markets, all the segments where they are present in, which is the oil and gas, the water, and the specialty steel, the sector which is going to get merged, and the B2C business of the TMTs and the business what we are venturing into, all these sectors are showing significant growth prospects. Also, you know, and I am sure the performance of the company will meet the mark of the investors and their expectations. And we stay committed to our governance, we stay committed to our quality, and we stay committed to our serviceability to our customers. And with that, I would once again like to thank you once again for joining us today morning. And if you have any further questions, you are absolutely, please kindly reach out to Abhinandan and Percy or Gaurav, and we will be happy to answer all your questions. Thank you very much, and have a good day ahead, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.